Hey there, it's Carrie. A number of you have noticed that these jury duty episodes have been getting shorter, and I want to take a minute to explain why. First, I want to assure you that our coverage remains just as in-depth as it was when we started 2 years ago with the Durst trial. But we have limited resources. So, in order to maintain a 5-episode-per-week schedule and to sustain the quality of the work, we've decided to make the episodes shorter. That said, in the very near future, we plan to launch an ad-free Patreon streaming option, which will also include a lot of exclusive content. If you'd like to know more about that, subscribe to this feed or subscribe to our newsletter at crimestory.com. Thanks again for listening and for your tremendous support. Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Carrie Antholis. This season of Jury Duty explores the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, who was charged with the reckless homicide of Joseph Rosenbaum, the intentional homicide of Anthony Huber, and the attempted intentional homicide of Gage Grosskreutz. As Rittenhouse was the undisputed shooter of all three men, his legal team argued that the shootings were in self-defense. In our last episode, we looked at the beginning of Prosecutor Thomas Binger's direct examination of Corey Washington, a social media influencer who live-streamed video from the chaotic streets of Kenosha on the night of August 25th and was within earshot of the shootings of Rosenbaum, Huber, and Grosskreutz. In this episode, we continue our look at Binger's direct examination of Washington. That's all coming up right after the break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
As our last episode ended, Prosecutor Thomas Binger showed the jury video recorded by Corey Washington on the night of August 25th, 2020. The footage panned across a crowd at a gas station, and we observed several people carrying firearms and heard Washington commenting on the armed individuals. Binger asked the witness if he ever saw anyone in that crowd fire a gun or anyone get injured, and Washington responded no. Binger next asks the court's audiovisual technician to resume that video.
Please continue.
Leaving now. Yo, don't. Come on, bro. What are y'all doing, bro? Yo, bro. Come on, bro.
In the video frame, we see a dumpster that is on fire. Not a metaphorical one, a real one. And it is being wheeled up the street in front of the gas station. The dumpster stops by the entry to the gas station, and although we cannot make out any of the individuals involved, we see the fire being extinguished.
Left, and as soon as they left, things just got heated. I'm not about to stand in a line of fire at all. People throwing rocks. Be careful. Careful, because they're throwing rocks. And it says,
we also see police cars drive away from the scene, and we see individuals milling about the gas station. Some have helmets on, a couple have gas masks, many carry cameras, others are armed. For a few seconds, we see Kyle Rittenhouse milling about too. He wears a green t-shirt, blue jeans, boots, a white cap turned backwards, and purple gloves.
His semi-automatic rifle is strapped to his chest. Binger asks Washington.
Mr. Washington, in that excerpt we just watched, I saw a number of individuals that were armed. Did you see that as well?
Yes.
And what was your understanding of what their purpose was out there that evening, if you have one?
I mean, honestly, I didn't talk to everyone individually, so, I mean, it's hard to really answer that.
Sure. It appeared to me that there were folks that had long rifles, like AR-15s. Are you familiar with those at all?
Yeah.
Did you see folks at the Ultimate gas station armed with that type of rifle?
Yes.
How many would you estimate you saw?
Consistently at like one time or throughout a period of time?
One time, that were all there.
Maybe
one time.
Maybe like two dozen, maybe a little more, something like that. Anywhere, but I'd say between 15 to 25 people.
And in the videos we saw there, or the section we just saw, it appeared that there were people kind of getting in the face or getting aggressive with some of those folks that were armed. Did you see that?
Yes. So as far as I recall, there was a lot of discourse happening, you know, heated discourse, but conversations being had.
Did you see that lead to any violence? Anybody punch one another, shoving each other, shooting at one another, anything along those lines?
No, maybe there may have been nudging or something, not that I recall seeing, but nothing that would make you stop and direct your attention to it.
And I believe in that section we just watched, I saw two separate instances of dumpsters being set on fire. Did you see those as well?
Yes.
And I don't know if that was the same dumpster twice or two.
I believe it may have been the same dumpster.
Okay. And other than that being a perfect metaphor for the year 2020, did you see any property damage as a result of the dumpster fires?
No. As far as I recall, the dumpster was lit on fire because the police pulled up in an MRAP, and it seemed like protesters were, like, shoving it towards the police. It didn't seem like they were trying to destroy buildings with it or blow up the gas station or anything like that. There was a lot of people there. I don't know if people would let them do that.
And I want to ask that specifically because you're standing right next to the gas pumps in the video. Is that right?
Yes.
Did you feel like that was an unsafe place based on the dumpster fire and anything like that?
No.
Did you see anyone ever push those anything on fire towards the gas pumps?
No.
Okay.
Corey Washington's first day of testimony takes place on the same day as the opening statements and as Dominic Black's testimony. And that day is getting late. So Judge Schrader announces the adjournment and reminds the jurors not to discuss the case outside of the courtroom.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When Judge Schrader calls the court into session at 9 the following morning, Prosecutor Binger resumes his direct examination of Corey Washington and soon thereafter begins to play the video of Washington's live stream, picking up where they left off the previous day. The video aimlessly pans the crowd assembled at the gas station at the corner of 60th Street and Sheridan Road. Besides pausing the image on two occasions to point out Anthony Huber and Gage Grosskreutz, the prosecutor allows the footage to play without any commentary or questions. After about 6 minutes of footage, Binger pauses to ask Washington about fires in the area. The video resumes, and after about a minute, pauses again to allow Binger to point out an individual with a firearm named Ryan Balch. After a few more minutes, Binger points out Kyle Rittenhouse running through the frame carrying a fire extinguisher. Until this point, Binger's process of allowing Washington's video to play with sporadic stops and starts appears to be aimless and without narrative strategy. But when Washington, in the video, moves to follow Rittenhouse, Binger pauses the video to ask why.
So what was it that drew your attention to him at this point in the video?
There wasn't much happening at the time. It was
fairly calm. You know, you see most of the people are kind of just standing around and stuff like that by this point. So to see someone running, you know, I suppose it could have been anyone that ran by me. I would have been intrigued by it, but remembering kind of, you know, in my head. And he had a fire extinguisher as well, so maybe there's a fire or something happening. Maybe he's going to extinguish a fire or something like that, so.
Is it fair to say that when we continue the video here, it will show you going in the same direction as the defendant?
Yes.
At any point when you were observing the defendant, when he ran past you and whatnot, did you see anyone else with him?
No.
He was alone?
Not that I recall.
Okay.
And heading in the direction, it wasn't really to follow the defendant, it was to see what was happening in that direction.
Okay. And just for the, so we can orient everything geographically, could you use your laser pointer and point out the ultimate gas station, please? And we've established that's at the southeast corner of 60th and Sheridan, and that's where you were during the portions of the video we've been watching this morning.
Yes, yeah, probably about
and
like
then
right
when
here,
you followed the defendant, what direction did you go from there?
Headed southbound. So
you
way.
Went directly south on Sheridan?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Please continue.
The video resumes with Washington traveling south on Sheridan Road. Finally, approximately 25 minutes into this session, Prosecutor Binger arrives at a substantive line of questioning for the witness as he pauses on an image of Joseph Rosenbaum near the Car Source store at the intersection of Sheridan Road and 63rd Street and identifies Rosenbaum for the jury.
I'm going to represent to the jury, and there's no dispute from the defense that there's an individual in the center of the screen. He is not wearing his shirt. He's carrying a bag. He appears to have sort of long blue shorts on. That is Joseph Rosenbaum, and I'll use the pointer to point him out.
Binger then asks Washington.
Mr. Washington, you have traveled down, on this video, we see you skateboarding down Sheridan Road south from the ultimate gas station at 60th and Sheridan. Is that correct?
Correct.
Where we're at in the video now, which is at timestamp 5636, we're seeing some bright lights there on the screen. Do you see those?
Yes.
What is that location?
That's the Car Source.
And where is that located specifically, do you know?
On Sheridan and, what is that, 63rd?
Binger then resumes the video and we hear a sequence of gunshots. Binger then pauses the video again and clarifies that the first gunshot we heard was fired by someone named Joshua Zeminski. The next four bangs were the shots fired by Kyle Rittenhouse at Joseph Rosenbaum, and the final three shots were fired by an unknown gunman. Soon thereafter, the prosecution turns the witness over to the defense, and with that, we conclude this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. Join us on our next episode as we continue our examination of the testimony of Corey Washington, including the cross-examination by defense attorney Corey Shirafasi.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can find more information about this trial at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created, hosted, and produced by yours truly, Carrie Antholis. This episode was written by Vanessa Herron. It was co-produced by Chris Tarracone and Aaron Karenik. Our consulting producer is Brittany Bookbinder. The episode was edited by Chris Tarracone. Music for the episode was provided by Strike Audio, and trial audio is courtesy of Law and Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse.